deliverance, salvation. What is salvation? It's a deliverance, a freedom. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So you and I can go to the bed, grave of a loved one and can say, well, that grave, I'm going to hold them, but just for a few days, their body. But you know what? I don't think their spirit's in there. I don't think their spirit's in there. I look at my mother-in-law. I don't think she's dead tonight. All that died was the outward carcass. All that died was the outward body. You say, isn't that valuable? Sure. The Lord's going to come back and claim that purchased possession. He's going to claim the redemption of these bodies. How do you know? Romans 8 chapter makes it crystal clear. It says, because they say the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I think there's a sense in which we enjoy that here, but I believe it's coming in the fullness out there. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and is in pain together until now. The two natures that we've got inside here, the new nature cries out groanings. It desires to be freed like a bird from a cage. It desires to be in the presence of God. But there's that old Adamic nature that we are born with, our first nature, that brought us down in the pit of corruption and sin, that still hangs on us like a dead weight tonight. It's like a dead body, a carcass, and it smells and it stinks. It doesn't take long for that old dead man, that man that's in us, to rise up, does it, our envy, our pride, our hatred, our malice. Do you ever have any problem with that? Now listen, I haven't got rid of that yet. I haven't got, you know what, I hope in the day of release, in the day of departure from this life here, in the day that my breath that leaves this body, I somehow or another made to feel by the evidence, by the truth of the scriptures, that there's going to be a sweet deliverance for the spirit. The spirit, when the spirit of the Lord, when the spirit of God takes its release like a bird out of a cage. I don't think of my loved ones as laying in the grave. They're dead. They're alive tonight. She's not here in this congregation, but I dare say she must be in a better meeting than we'll ever be in here on this earth. I don't know what capacity the departed saints are, but must be a place of joy. It must be a place of peace. Every song I've ever sung about heaven seems to indicate it's joy unspeakable. It's full of glory. It's peace that we can't even begin to describe. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he's prepared for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. It'll be why. It's going to be the greatest day of deliverance. And read on, for he says there in Romans 8 chapter, at about the 25th verse there, he goes on to say, for we know the whole creation groaneth in his pain together until now, and not only they, but we ourselves also groan within ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan within ourselves, waiting for what? Waiting for the redemption. To wit, that word means to see, to look, to witness, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And you say, what does that do to you now? It saves me. It saves me. We are saved by the hope of the resurrection of these bodies. I'd hate to think of a God that made these bodies like he did out of clay and putting the breath of life and designed them like he did. And there's nothing more that's going to be the star going back to dust of the earth. And that's the end of it. That won't hold water in the scriptures here. Brother, there is a resurrection morning. The bodies of the saints are going to come out of there. Did the body of Christ come out of the grave on the third day? Sure did. It was impossible that it should be holden. And there, he had no corruption. Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And why? Because there was no corruption in his body. And when he died and put away sin by the sacrifice of his own body upon the tree cross, that was a one-time forever transaction. And that accomplished forever, and it redeemed the family of God. Body, soul, and spirit is all going to be complete in that day. There's not going to be one bone broken. There wasn't. And there's not going to be loss of one in that glorious resurrection morning. Oh, no wonder they could sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Just take a little time out here. They do when they're playing a game. We're not playing a game. We're here trying to study. But some of you get a little, you're nodding. I don't know if you're agreeing or going to sleep. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you light. Rise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. That was addressed to a church, wasn't it? It was addressed to children of God. We get in that shape, don't we? Spiritually, we get slothful. But I'll tell you, when you begin to realize what the Lord's done for you, he's loosed the prisoners. He's loosed us by his own death and his resurrection. He's freed us forever from the claims of the demands of the divine justice of God so that you and I can live in peace. You and I can rejoice in his presence. You and I can feel the liberty, freedom right down here. If they put me in prison, Paul, did you know, was a prisoner? Paul was a prisoner. He was a prisoner of the Lord. He was a prisoner of the Roman government. But I'll tell you, that didn't bother him. He said, remember, to Timothy, he talked to him, telling me a good soldier of his. He said, remember that, he said, remember that according to the seed of David, Christ Jesus was raised up from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer bonds, even as an evildoer. What he said, they're treating me just like a criminal. Even although he had not broken any laws of the land, I don't think he was. I think he was a tax-paying citizen. I believe he was a Roman citizen. The record tells us what. I believe he honored Caesar. I believe he rendered to Caesar that which was Caesar's. But also, I believe when it came to the truth of our God, he would not bow his knee to the image of any Baal. He would not bow his knee for the principle of the gospel. Those three Hebrews didn't, and they got cast apart, but they were freed, weren't they? And here's a man that says, I suffer trouble. He says, and am in bonds. But he says, even as an evildoer in bonds. Yet, he said, the Lord, the word of the Lord is not bound. Here was someone that he said, I'm bound. But he said, the word of the Lord is not bound. The truth is not bound. You couldn't bind the truth. Why, those three men that were bound, they were freed. And the Apostle Paul was bound, but he was free. He was put in prison one day, and he was in stocks and bonds with another preacher, lay fellow prisoner of his, Silas. What was he put in there for? Because he was out there preaching the gospel in the street, as it were, in the city of Philippi. And he had cast, you know, that demon, as it were, evil spirit out of the fortune teller, or that woman was telling, you know. And you know what she's saying? These be the ones. So that fortune teller, that woman with an evil spirit, recognized the truth of God. Just as much as those evil spirits and demons were in those men when Jesus came on the scene, and they said, why art thou come to torment us before our time? I adjure thee by the name of Jesus. And that woman lost her trade, you see. Why? Because she had that demon spirit cast out of her, and they put her merchants to rising up in the city of Philippi. And they got him and put those two men in the hold of the prison. And they had beat their backs, remember, and put them in stocks and locked them in there. And about midnight, the record says, I'm inclined to believe before midnight, those two men of God were in there praying. They were in there, and not only that, but they were singing praises. They were thanking the God of heaven and earth. There's not a word of complaint in that. You can not find it. They were praising their God. They were in dungeons. It's just like it says here. They were still in heart and conscience free. They were free men. Those men that cast them in, that jailer that held them there with his sword probably standing guard, given the authority to do it. He was in greater bondage than those two men that were in stocks and bonds. He was in the bondage of his sin. Those men were in there for the truth of our God. And you know, there's a lot of difference, isn't there? Being a prisoner of the Lord. They said, am I a prisoner of Jesus Christ, a prisoner of the Lord? And in the same breath, Paul was a free man. Paul and Silas were singing praises unto the Lord. And you know, the Lord shook that prison. And you know what? He set that jailer free. I think when he shook, the earthquake shook the jail. But I think it did more than that. It shook the jailer. I tell you, I believe that jailer was in such great fear. He had fear. And when the Apostle Paul saw that, and he cried out, sirs, what must we do to be delivered, saved from this awful condition we're in? Paul understood that cry was the cry of a heaven-born soul. It was the cry of one who had been set free by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ, the life in Christ, had made that jailer free from the law of sin and death. But you know what? He still needed to be free. Did you know that? There's a scripture over there. I'm going to tie this together. The Lord loses the prisoner. All right. Here is one who's been dead in the grave for 4 days. And the Lord gives the life-giving word. Lazarus come forth, didn't he? He said, roll away the stone. Take away the stone. There's a lot of people think that taking away the stone had something to do with Lazarus coming out of there. It didn't have a thing to do with it. You know, all it manifests is that he's dead. He's dead. He stinks. You can see the effects of death itself written all over 4 days of it. And there's no way that he's rolling away the stone. I think one brother puts it, he said that the gospel not only manifests life, but it also manifests death. Did you know the preaching of the gospel tonight, if it doesn't affect you, doesn't ring some kind of a bell? I might be a poor preacher, and I talk too fast, and I get too loud, and I get too long, and all of that. But I'll tell you, when it comes to the preaching of the truth of the gospel, if it somehow or another fits your experience, yes, I was a prisoner of the pit. I'm a sinner by nature. Oh, I'm a sinner. I feel to be guilty. Let me tell you, and here comes a little gospel preacher along. Here comes one of God's little servants that's coming along as the Lord told his apostles after he raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus come out of there, and you know he came out of there, and he came out, he didn't come out looking very good, I'm sure, grave clothes wrapped around. He came out with a napkin on his face. Isn't that what the record says? You know what the Lord said? Now the Lord could have just taken those napkins off it. He could have done it immediately, but you know what he told those men there to do? He said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. What do you see in that, preacher? That's the truth of the gospel. The truth that we're reported to believe. Jesus came here in the fullness of time, and he says over there in fulfillment of that Zechariah's prophecy, he says there, he said, he hath, by the blood of the covenant, he said, I have brought thee forth. Let me get this here like it should be. I can't quote, I'm just quoting at it. But you know, you've read it there in the 11th, 10th chapter of Zechariah. Very beautiful expression there. You'll find it. Then we'll try to tie it in with the loosing over here, if I can. In the book of Zechariah, the 10th chapter, here it is. It says here, he said, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, and this is speaking of our Lord, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. The natural state of the sinner, I think, is pictured here. Turn you now, the next verse says, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today, I do declare that I'll render double unto thee. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Loose him and let him go. When our Lord was here upon earth, I think he fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to preach glad tidings, the gospel to the poor. Or Luke says meek, and it says to set at liberty them that are bound. You see, what the preaching of the gospel is to do is to set at liberty them that are bound by conditionalism, by the work system, by free willism, if you want to call it. Man's will is not really free. Paul said one day in Romans, he said, you were the servants of sin. You were free, all right, but you were free from righteousness. That's the only thing man's ever been free from by nature, free from everything that's right. Free from everything that's pure, polluted in your own blood, corrupted, and until the God of heaven came to you and delivered you from that pit where there was no water, no grace, nothing good about it in you, and he set you free. He said, Lazarus, come forth. The hour came in your experience tonight somewhere. Maybe it was when you were a little baby. Maybe it was when you were conceived in your mother's womb. I don't know, but I remember as an 11-year-old boy, I think it was, I felt to be such a sinner. And I thought I'd die and go to hell. I was raised in a system. If I didn't turn and repent, I would burn. Turn or burn. I was under that system, and I was scared. You know, the truth sets me free. You know, and when I felt my need of that, and I began to cry out, my mother thought I was physically ill, physically sick. Is there anything wrong? Can I help you, son? And I'd say, no, no. You know, and then I was told what I had to do in order to be born again. And I think if I was ever a child of God, it was when I felt myself to be a needy sinner. Who taught me that? Dad and mother didn't teach me that. I didn't go to school to learn that. You know, the only one who could teach you that is the God of all grace. The God of heaven and earth. The God who, it says in one place there, he says, they'll need not teach every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. I will be a God unto them, and they shall be my people. And I believe that inward work, that divine work, that spiritual work, that bringing out of the pit, the prisoner from the pit, is the work of God and God alone, as much as it was the work of Christ and Christ alone, not the Christ and the apostles, had nothing to do with giving life to that man. But you know, afterwards, he told him to loose him and let him go, didn't he? He told him, here, and I think this is the message of the gospel, set at liberty them that are bound, and to the recovery of sight to them that are blind, and to them that are bruised, and so on. It speaks of that in Isaiah. Go to them, say to the prisoners, now, go show thyself, you know, and to them that are in darkness, go show that. Say to the prisoners, go forth. Why? Because the prison doors are open. You see, the Lord has come, and he's delivered us from the bondage of sin and corruption by his redeeming work. Now the truth comes to you. And one day when our Lord was here upon earth, there was quite a few Jews that heard him speak. And on one occasion, the 8th chapter of John, he said to those Jews that believed on him. Many believed on him, it says, when they heard his sayings, and it says many Jews believed on him. And you know what he said to them? Here were Jews that believed on him, and I think there were spiritual Jews. He says, if you continue in my word, he says, you shall know the truth, didn't he? And he says, the truth shall make you free. Loose him and let him go. The truth shall make you free. And these Jews said unto him, how is it that we can be free when we're not in bondage? We've never been in bondage, they said to any man. Well, they didn't know the truth. They were in bondage to the system of their own works. They were in bondage to the law servant, and they were in bondage to the Roman government. When they made that statement, they said, how can this, we've never been in bondage to any man, and how can we be free then if we've never been bound? Well, I'll tell you what, the only one that knows the worth of liberty is a slave. The one who's felt to be a slave, and he's been a slave, and he's been a servant under the dominion of sin. That's the one who feels the wonderful freedom and liberty that there is in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord went on to say, he answered him and said, he said to them in the 8th chapter of John, listen to this real quickly here, he says, Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, whosoever commit a sin is the servant of sin. You say, are we all in that class? I think that committing sin there, that word means he practices it, he lives it, he eats it, he just sleeps it. Sin is all that he is. Just sin constantly. No evidence. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. He said, and if the son therefore shall make you free, he repeated it, ye shall be free indeed. Paul said, God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but now, he said, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. That's the truth of grace, you see. That form of doctrine. You believed it. How did you believe? By the grace of God. You're enabled to believe it, and in so doing, as you believe the truth and you continue believing it, what does it do? It sets you free. It just gives you the freedom and the liberty to do what you please. No, to do not freedom from law. Not freedom from law. Not freedom of the law, but freedom from its claims and its penalties, but freedom to keep the law of God. You know, Paul said, he said, circumcision profit nothing, neither does uncircumcision, but the keeping of the commandments of the Lord. And he says, are you a servant? He said, if God has called you, abide, let each man abide in the calling or with his call. He said, if you're a servant and the Lord has called you being a servant, that was a slave back in that day and time. He said, seek not to be free, because he said, if you're a servant, if you're the Lord's now, he says, you're the Lord's free man. You may be a servant over here, but he says, you're a free man. And he says, if the Lord's called you being free, he said, seek not to be bound or seek to be a servant, because he says, you're a servant of Christ. Either way, if you're freed from the system of this world, you're still a servant. You're a bond slave of Jesus Christ, a willing slave, that is. You know, many times when the slaves were emancipated and freed by their masters, many of them said, we're going to serve our master for life. Why? They loved their master. They were treated with all kindness, and many of them did. And back in the Old Testament, you have a record where those strangers that came in the camp, or those that were captivated and were considered servants and slaves, after 6 years or 7 years, in the seventh year, they were to be set free, especially on the year of Jubilee, the 50-49 years, and in the year of Jubilee, every death, all the slaves and everyone were set free. And the ones that did not want to leave their masters, they could go to their master and have their ear pierced through with an awl, as they put it. Put an awl in their ear. And that signifies, I'm my master. I belong to him forever. I'm going to serve my master now, not because I'm a slave of him, but because I love him. And you know, the greatest, the strongest rope, the strongest tie, let's put it that way, is love. You could put chains on you tonight, and you could say, we're going to force you, you've got to come to meeting here. That'll never do the job. No, sir. The true church of the living God has stood the test of time, because there have been God's people that have loved the truth, loved it even unto death. Loved it above their own lives. Loved it more. When men said, don't do this, they said, we ought to obey God. Rather than that, we'll obey the laws of the land. But when the laws of the land say, we cannot worship, we cannot do this, you bow down or idiot, that's when they take their stand like Peter did, John did, and they said, whether it be right in your sight to hearken unto men, judge ye, we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. You know when they had made that statement? Right after they were told never to say another word in the name of Jesus again. Don't preach any more in his name. Don't fill the city with this doctrine. But you know, they didn't change, did they? They went right out there, and you know what they went? The first thing they did after they got word, were told not to preach anymore. And they said, whether it's right in your sight to hearken unto men or not, judge ye. Said, we cannot but speak to this. And then again they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. They went to the little meeting place. I don't know where they were meeting, but they got to the house and they said, let's have a prayer meeting. And they went down on their knees and they said, Lord God, heaven and earth, just like this psalmist said, you're the one who loosed the prisoner. You're the one that has power over men, Pilate, and all of that was under your dominion. Now they've threatened us and they've told us not to preach anymore. Now grant unto your servants, what did he say? Boldness. That they may speak in thy name. And you know what? With great power, it says, they gave witness to their resurrection. And even though they got their backs beat, and you know, they went away from that council on one time, it says they were rejoicing. They were happy that they were considered or counted worthy, it says, to suffer for the name of Jesus. I know it's some of your bedtime. You've been a faithful to come out on a Thursday night, hot night as it is, but I've enjoyed trying to make a little effort to tell you about the Lord that looses the prisoners. And not only that, but he tells us as servants of God to loose them and let them go. He gave authority to Peter. Remember that. He didn't give him authority to forgive sins. I don't think eternally. I talked to a gentleman. I was telling Brother Compton our way just a few weeks ago in conversation. His wife's a member of the Old Baptist, where my wife was a member there, and joined with his sister that's lying asleep now. And she's loves the church. And she married this man. She didn't want to be married in the church that he was a member of, a Catholic. No reflection upon God's children among that order. But anyway, when he didn't come by the rules of the church and did not receive that sacrament of what they call matrimony, whereby they can get grace and so forth, it put him in the bad light of the church. And so he's not permitted to come to communion. He's not permitted. He's outcast from that particular church. I've tied the knot in the little meeting house there in Lexington, Kentucky. It's not a religious service, but we do believe it's a Bible-authorized thing. Marriage is very sacred, and we should consider such. You know what he's telling me the other day? He said, the priest, they won't let me come. I can't go to the confession anymore. But he said, lately, he says, I've been going directly to the Lord. Right, lately, he says, I feel myself to be, when I do wrong, he said, I just go to God and say, Lord, help mercy on me. He said, you know, I feel better. I said, you know, you could have done that long time ago, friend. I said, isn't that wonderful that we don't have to go to a priest or a preacher, Primitive Baptist preacher, or a rabbi, or any earthly potentate, or any earthly mediator, because we've got one, and there's only one that knows my case better than my wife, better than my father, better than my mother, better than I myself. And I can say, Lord, you know what a sinner I am. You know my voice so far off. There's not a word in my tongue. And somehow or another, Lord, you know what I am. I'm just a poor prisoner. Someday I hope to be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to be like you. But oh, would you deliver me now? Deliver me from myself. Deliver me from this old world, present evil world. Deliver me! You know, Peter stood up in the day of Pentecost with divine authority. The Lord said in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, just before he set him down and rebuked him because he wasn't talking like he should. He was trying to save the Lord from going to the cross, you know, spare him. And, you know, he said, no man will ever touch you. And the Lord says, thou savest the things that be of man and not of God. Get thee behind me. That's Satan's influence. That's the one who would say, don't you go to the cross and die. Because Brother Utler, Satan knew himself that he could keep the Lord from going to the cross as the sin bearer of his children, of his people. Then the whole purpose and counsel of God would be overthrown. But brother, he could not touch that Savior there until his moment came. And then when he thought he had him, our Lord came forth, bursting forth the bonds of death and the governments that were in power at that day and time, and came forth victorious. You know what he said to Peter? Upon this rock bed of truth, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell, the unseen world, will not prevail against it. And he said, I say unto thee, he says, I give unto thee, rather, he said, that the keys, not to that eternal heaven up there, of the kingdom of heaven. That's this gospel kingdom. I give unto you the keys. And he said unto him, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know what? I kind of think the truth not only binds us. I'm talking about the truth of truth. I'm not talking about what men say. That'll bind us into bondage. That'll bring us back in gender bondage only. Elements of this world and all that. The book of Galatians tells us that. And the Jerusalem system that's below here, that only tends to bondage, genders to bondage. But the Jerusalem which is above, the mother of us all, what's she called? She's called the free woman. The free woman. She frees us. And when you see the truth, it's all in Christ. I had a young couple of baptized last Sunday in Lexington. They had been in another system, and this brother was almost to the place where he didn't believe in any God. He was atheistically inclined. He said, 12 years ago, preacher, if you'd have told me that I and my wife would come and submit to gospel baptism like we're doing here today, that was last Sunday, said, I'd have said you were crazy. But he says, the Lord has worked in me and made me see that there's no hope in myself or in my family, my background, nothing at all. My only hope is in that great emancipator, that great liberator, that great redeemer, that one who died and was buried and arose again. And the pains of death could not hold him. And that's what the record says. And tonight, if you're a little child of God and the Lord's brought you out of the pit where there's no water, then I say to you tonight, turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. That'll encourage your hope. Stronghold is Jesus. The stronghold of our, he is the only refuge we have tonight from the storms of life. You're going to need him while you live. You're going to need him, young person, if you establish a home out here. The reason so many homes are going on the rocks is because they're not setting their house up on the rock. See, just one letter difference between on the rock and on the rocks. And if it's not founded on the principles of this book here as husband and wife, it won't weather the storms. The divorce courts are full all over the land. Sad. Our nation is going apart at the seams. Our fabric, our strength of our nation has always been the home. The strength of any nation, any government, any leaders will tell you they've got any principle about it. They'll say the home, the home. And you know, if we don't have a good home, natural home, and if we don't have a good church home, there's not much to look forward to. Friend, people here at London Track or Landmark Church, live for these things. Practice them in your daily walk and life out there. Somehow or another, don't say, well, I'm free. I can free do as I please. No, you're not. You're free to do as he pleases. You're free, and you know that's the greatest freedom there is. If you want to get in prison, just break the law out here. But if you want to keep out of prison, just keep the law. Naturally. If you want to keep out of the prison house of your own disobedience, just keep the commandments of the Lord. And some other, I believe it'll give you liberty. Don't keep them in order to get to heaven, but keep them in order to bring a little heaven down here to earth. Not to prolong your life, maybe, but to give you a little life while you're here. Life of peace and a life of joy. Thank you for your kind attention. It's good to be here. May the Lord bless you. Hope you'll add to your numbers his little children out here, that you'll come to the truth. And as your servant of God, the little humble brother, stand before you. And he declares these things, and by the grace of God, uses the keys of the authority that the Lord has given to bind his children, bind us to the truth, and also at the same time loose us. I bind us, that what I bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This might apply to discipline, it might apply to something else, but I think it can apply to the truth of our Lord and Savior, and not do injustice to the principles of the Word of God. And even though we might be bound out here, chained, and all that, we can still be free. I read many a story of men who've been in bondage or who've been in actual prisons. And you know what? I dare say, just may I say this here. I was down in Memphis, Tennessee a few years ago, and I saw that big mansion that's there now. I saw the little Tupelo. I was over in Tupelo a few months ago, and I saw the birthplace of one of the famous singers, Elvis Presley, came from poverty. And there he was. And you know, in 42 years, all the millions of dollars that he had, he could build that great or buy that great big mansion there. But do you know that young man, 42 years of age, when he reached his height, just that quick, he's gone. Did you know that he was a prisoner? He was a prisoner. He was a prisoner in his big palace there. He had to have armed guards around him. All of his riches didn't free him, did it? Didn't give him liberty. Didn't give him peace of mind, did it? And probably had to rely on drugs, as the records have said. And that's not only true of that, but there's a lot of men that have all their eye could wish in the world, but they're slaves. Did you know that? They're slaves to their own lust. They're slaves to their wealth. They're slaves to their riches and all of that. And it's not made them happy at all. I'd rather be with John Newton in a prison when he said prisons would palaces prove if Jesus will dwell with me there. Our Lord he's been in prisons. He can set us free when we're in a prison. And tonight, I'm a prisoner of hope, and I feel like he's set me free so I can praise him and thank him as long as I have breath in my mortal body. God be with you till we meet again. If not here at his feet, up there in a better world. Thank you. Come here.